Hello and welcome, everyone. I hope you all are doing great today. I am back with another incredible and powerful biography story that will not only inspire you, but also help you improve your English. Today, I bring you the story of one of the greatest rulers in history, Sultan Suleiman the Magnificent. His story is filled with power, ambition, love, war, betrayal, and unforgettable moments that shaped the Ottoman Empire and the world. This is not just a history lesson, this is an experience. Through this story, you will learn new words, improve your English comprehension, and enjoy one of the most fascinating stories of all time. So sit back, relax, and get ready for an epic journey into the past. We will start from the very beginning of Sultan Suleiman's life, his birth, childhood, and the events that shaped him into the greatest sultan of the Ottoman Empire. Every detail will be covered: his family, his education, his challenges, and most importantly, his personal life and his first steps toward greatness. Are you ready? Let's begin. Part 1. The Early Life of Sultan Suleiman. The year was 1494. In the city of Trabzon, a powerful child was born into the royal Ottoman family. This child would later become one of the greatest rulers the world has ever seen. His name was Suleiman. His father was Sultan Selim I, a fierce and ambitious ruler who was known for his military strength and strict leadership. His mother was Hafsa Sultan, a wise and respected woman who played a crucial role in his early years. From the moment Suleiman was born, it was clear that he was no ordinary child. His parents believed he was destined for greatness. The astrologers in the palace predicted that this boy would rule an empire like no other. But before he could become a powerful sultan, he had to grow, learn, and survive the dangerous world of Ottoman politics. Growing up in the royal palace of Trabzon, young Suleiman was surrounded by wealth, luxury, and power. But his childhood was not just about comfort. From an early age, he was trained to be a ruler. He learned history, science, literature, mathematics, and strategy. His father ensured that he received the best education available. He was taught by the most knowledgeable scholars of the empire, who instilled in him the values of justice, wisdom, and leadership. But more than anything, Suleiman was fascinated by stories of great rulers, Alexander the Great, Julius Caesar, and past Ottoman sultans. He dreamed of becoming a leader who would be remembered for centuries. In the Ottoman Empire, a sultan was not just a ruler, he was also a warrior. At the age of 7, Suleiman was introduced to the art of war. He learned how to use a sword, ride a horse, and command an army. His father believed that a true leader should be strong both in mind and body. By the age of 10, Suleiman was already showing signs of leadership. He had a sharp mind and a fearless heart. While other children played, he spent his time studying war strategies, reading books, and training with soldiers. One of his teachers once said, "This boy is not just learning, he is preparing to rule." But life as a royal child was not easy. The Ottoman Empire was full of political enemies, assassins, and rivalries. Even within the palace, there were people who wanted power and would do anything to get it. Suleiman had to learn early that trust was dangerous. His father, Sultan Selim I, was a strict and ruthless leader who had many enemies. There were always whispers of betrayal and rebellion in the empire. As a prince, Suleiman knew that one mistake could cost him his life. He was taught never to show weakness and to always be one step ahead of his enemies. At the age of 15, Suleiman was given his first taste of real leadership. His father appointed him as the governor of Kaffa, now in Crimea. This was not just a title, it was a test. He was sent away from the comfort of the palace to rule a city filled with different cultures, challenges, and dangers. At first, it was difficult. He was young, inexperienced, and surrounded by people who doubted him. But Suleiman was determined. He listened, learned, and proved himself as a fair and intelligent leader. Within a year, people started calling him the Young Lion. He showed wisdom beyond his years, making tough decisions and earning the respect of his people. His father was watching closely, and he was impressed. This was just the beginning of Suleiman's journey toward becoming a legendary ruler. But everything changed in 1520. After years of ruling with an iron fist, Sultan Selim fell ill and died. His death sent shockwaves through the empire. Now the question was, who would take his place? Part 2: The Rise of a Legend. Suleiman stood before the people of the Ottoman Empire. His father, Sultan Selim I, was dead. The empire was now in his hands. The crowd was silent, waiting for him to speak. He was only 26 years old, but his eyes held the wisdom of a ruler who had been preparing for this moment his entire life. He took a deep breath and said, "I will build an empire that will be remembered forever." The people cheered. Soldiers raised their swords. The Ottoman world had a new leader. But not everyone was happy. In the shadows, powerful men were already plotting against him. Would he survive? Would he prove himself as a true sultan? The journey had begun. Becoming sultan was not just about wearing the crown, it was about controlling the empire. Suleiman was now the ruler of one of the most powerful empires in the world. His father had expanded the empire, but many enemies still remained. The grand viziers, the top ministers of the empire, watched him closely. Some whispered, "He is too young. He cannot rule like his father." There were rival princes who wanted the throne. Some powerful governors refused to follow his orders. Even inside the palace, his own relatives could not be trusted. Suleiman knew that if he made one mistake, he could be overthrown or even killed. He needed to act fast. He needed to show power. And the first step? A great conquest. Suleiman looked at the map. His father had left the empire strong, but there was one major problem. The Christian kingdoms in Europe were still a threat. The powerful Hungarian Empire controlled key cities near Ottoman lands. And the most important of them? Belgrade. Belgrade was the gateway to Europe. It was a strong fortress, guarded by thousands of experienced soldiers. Many Ottomans had tried to conquer it before, but all had failed. Suleiman knew that if he took Belgrade, he would prove to the world that he was a strong ruler. So, in 1521, he led his army, an army of 100,000 men. It was one of the largest armies the Ottoman Empire had ever seen. They marched for weeks, crossing rivers, mountains, and forests. The summer heat was unbearable. Many soldiers fell sick, but Suleiman never stopped. Finally, they reached Belgrade. The fortress stood tall, its walls thick and strong. Cannons lined the towers, ready to destroy any army that dared to attack. But Suleiman had a plan. He ordered his men to surround the city completely. No one could enter, and no one could leave. Then, he brought in the Ottoman cannons, the most powerful weapons of the time. For weeks, the sky was filled with fire and smoke. The sound of explosions shook the earth, Inside the city, the people were terrified. Food and water were running out. The Hungarian soldiers tried to fight back, but the Ottoman army was too strong. Finally, on August 29, 1521, Belgrade fell. Suleiman rode into the city, dressed in golden armor. His horse, covered in silk, moved slowly through the streets. People bowed before him, knowing that a new power had arrived. The news spread quickly. The European kings were shocked. The young sultan was not weak. He was a warrior. The world now knew his name. But this was just the beginning. Suleiman had conquered Belgrade, but there was one more threat he needed to eliminate. To the south, in the middle of the Mediterranean Sea, lay a small island called Rhodes. It was controlled by the Knights of St. John, a group of Christian warriors who had been fighting the Ottomans for years. They were known for their bravery, discipline, and deadly combat skills. They raided Ottoman ships, attacked coastal towns, and refused to surrender. Suleiman decided Rhodes must fall. In 1522, he gathered an army of 200,000 men and more than 300 warships. It was one of the biggest military campaigns in history. As they approached the island, the knights stood ready. Their leader, Grand Master Philippe Villiers de L'Isle Adam, was a fearless warrior. He swore that Rhodes would never fall. For 5 months, the battle raged. The Ottoman cannons thundered, destroying the walls of the fortress. Thousands of arrows darkened the sky. The sound of swords clashing filled the air. But the knights refused to surrender. Every time the Ottomans broke through a wall, the knights built another. Every day, hundreds died on both sides. Suleiman watched from his tent. He respected the knights. They were not just enemies, they were warriors like him. Finally, on December 22, 1522, after months of bloodshed, the knights could fight no more. Their leader walked out of the fortress and stood before Suleiman. The sultan looked at the old warrior and, instead of killing him, he did something unexpected. He let the knights go. He allowed them to leave Rhodes safely, taking their weapons with them. It was an act of honor, mercy, and wisdom. The world was stunned. The European kings could not believe that the greatest Muslim ruler had shown mercy to Christian warriors. But Suleiman was not just a conqueror. He was a ruler who knew when to fight and when to forgive. With Rhodes now under Ottoman control, Suleiman had no more enemies in the Mediterranean. The empire was stronger than ever, but a greater challenge was coming. A battle that would shake the world. Suleiman had proven himself. He was no longer just Selim's son, he was the Sultan. But Europe was preparing for revenge. The Hungarian king, Louis II, was furious. He gathered an army and sent messages to other European rulers saying, "We must stop the Ottomans before it is too late." The Pope in Rome called for a holy war against Suleiman. The Christian world wanted blood, but the Sultan was ready. He looked at the map and smiled. "Let them come," he said. "I will meet them on the battlefield." And so, he began planning one of the greatest battles in history. The world was about to witness the full power of Suleiman the Magnificent. Part 3. The Battle That Shook the World. In April 1526, Suleiman led an army of 100,000 soldiers toward Hungary. It was one of the largest and most powerful armies in history. His army included 70,000 elite janissaries and cavalry soldiers, the best-trained warriors of the Ottoman Empire. Hundreds of cannons, ready to destroy enemy fortresses. Massive war elephants brought from India to crush enemy lines. Thousands of supply wagons carrying food, weapons, and gold. The army moved like a giant wave, unstoppable and powerful. As they marched, Suleiman sent a message to the Hungarian king, Louis II. The message was simple. Surrender, and I will show mercy. Fight, and your kingdom will fall. Louis II, a young and inexperienced king, ignored the warning. He was only 20 years old, and his advisors filled his head with pride. He gathered 25,000 soldiers, much smaller than Suleiman's army. But he was confident. He believed God would protect him. He was wrong. On August 28, 1526, the Ottoman army reached the fields of Mohács. The Hungarian army was waiting. That night, Suleiman walked alone through his camp. His soldiers sat around fires sharpening swords, whispering about the battle to come. Some were nervous. The Hungarians were fighting for survival. Desperate men fought like lions. But Suleiman was calm. He knelt and prayed. He asked Allah for victory and strength. He knew that tomorrow, history would be made. At dawn on August 29, 1526, the air was thick with smoke. The battlefield was silent. Then, the Ottoman cannons fired. The first cannonball flew like a falling star and exploded into the Hungarian lines. Boom! Soldiers screamed as bodies flew into the air. The battle had begun. The Hungarian cavalry charged first, 5,000 horsemen galloping toward the Ottomans. Suleiman gave no orders. He waited. As the Hungarians got closer, the Ottoman janissaries raised their rifles, then fire. A rain of bullets ripped through the Hungarian cavalry. Horses fell, knights collapsed, the charge was broken. King Louis II saw his men falling like leaves in the wind. He panicked. He ordered all his soldiers to attack at once. Big mistake. The Ottomans, calm and organized, surrounded them. For 2 hours, the Hungarians fought bravely, but it was useless. The janissaries moved like ghosts, shooting, stabbing, and cutting down enemies. The Hungarian army was destroyed. At the end of the battle, the field was covered in bodies. Suleiman stood over the battlefield, looking at the destruction. 25,000 Hungarian soldiers were dead. And their king? King Louis II tried to escape on horseback. But as he crossed a river, his horse slipped. He fell into the water and drowned. Suleiman had won. Hungary was his. The battle had lasted only 2 hours, but it had changed history forever. Suleiman entered Buda, the capital of Hungary, and walked through the royal palace. The Hungarian kingdom was finished. The Pope in Rome, the Holy Roman Emperor, and the kings of Europe were in shock. How could a Muslim sultan destroy a Christian kingdom in 2 hours? Fear spread across Europe. The doors to the heart of Europe were now open. Would Suleiman march to Vienna, to Rome, to Paris? Was he going to conquer all of Europe? The Christian world prepared for war, but for Suleiman, the battle was not over. A new enemy was rising, and this enemy would challenge his power like no one else before. News of Suleiman's victory reached Vienna, and one man was furious. Charles V, the Holy Roman Emperor. He was the most powerful Christian ruler in the world. He ruled over Spain, Austria, the Netherlands, and parts of Italy, the Americas where Spanish explorers were finding gold. Millions of people from Europe to the New World. He was called the king on whose empire the sun never sets. And he was determined to stop Suleiman. Charles V sent a message to all Christian kings and princes. Unite, or we will all fall before the Sultan. Europe was now preparing for a massive war. And Suleiman, he was ready. He turned to his advisors and said, "Let them come. I will meet them in Vienna." A new war was coming, a war that would decide the future of the world. Would the Ottoman Empire take over Europe? Would the Christians unite and fight back? And would Suleiman's greatest dream, the conquest of Vienna, come true? Part 4, The Siege of Vienna and His Love Story. The year was 1529. Suleiman the Magnificent stood on the edge of history. His army had already crushed Hungary, defeated King Louis II, and taken control of Buda, the capital of Hungary. But his greatest challenge was still ahead. Vienna. This was the gateway to Europe. If Suleiman could conquer Vienna, the road to Germany, Italy, and even Rome would be open. But this would not be an easy victory. The Holy Roman Emperor Charles V had gathered a powerful Christian army to stop him. A battle was coming, and it would decide the future of Europe and the Ottoman Empire. But before we go into the war, let's step back and look at the personal life of Sultan Suleiman. Because behind this powerful ruler, behind his battles and victories, was a love story that changed the course of history, a story of passion, betrayal, and power. In the golden palace of Topkapi, the heart of the Ottoman Empire, Sultan Suleiman had many concubines. As per Ottoman tradition, the Sultan never married. He had children with different women, and none of them had special power. But everything changed when he met one woman. A woman who would break all traditions and become the most powerful woman in Ottoman history. Her name was Hürrem Sultan, but before she became a queen, she was a slave. Hürrem's real name was Roxolana. She was born in 1502 in Ruthenia, modern-day Ukraine. When she was a young girl, she was kidnapped by Crimean Tatar raiders. They took her far from her home and sold her as a slave. She was brought to Istanbul and sent to the Topkapi Palace, where she became a concubine in the Sultan's harem. She was just one among hundreds of women. But Hürrem was different. She was beautiful, with red hair and green eyes. She was intelligent and charming. She had a sharp mind, learning Turkish quickly. But most importantly, she knew how to win a man's heart. And that man was Suleiman the Magnificent. In the harem, Hürrem caught Suleiman's attention. She was not like the other women. She could make him laugh. She wrote poetry for him. She was witty and confident. Suleiman fell deeply in love with her. Soon, she became his favorite concubine. But this love story was not simple. Because in the palace, there was already another woman who had given birth to Suleiman's first son. Her name was Mahidevran Sultan. She was furious when she saw Suleiman falling for Hürrem, and this led to a deadly rivalry. Mahidevran hated Hürrem. She saw her as a threat and insulted her in front of others. One day, Mahidevran lost control. She attacked Hürrem in the palace, beating her so badly that Hürrem's face was scratched. Hürrem ran to Suleiman crying. When the Sultan saw her wounds, he was enraged. That day, Mahidevran lost her power. She was sent away, and Hürrem became the most powerful woman in the harem. But this was just the beginning, because Hürrem did something no woman in Ottoman history had done before. She married the Sultan. Yes, Suleiman broke all the traditions of the Ottoman Empire. He made Hürrem his wife, the first legal wife of an Ottoman Sultan in over 200 years, and this changed the empire forever. After marriage, Hürrem's power grew stronger. She gave birth to multiple sons, including Selim, who would later become the next Sultan. She advised Suleiman on political matters. Some people even called her the real ruler of the empire. But Huram had many enemies. The Ottoman court was filled with jealous viziers and angry nobles. Some believed she was controlling the sultan. Some even whispered that she was a witch. But Huram was unstoppable. She had everything she wanted, until she made a deadly mistake. She convinced Suleiman that his closest friend, Ibrahim Pasha, was a traitor. And this led to one of the most shocking events in Ottoman history. Ibrahim Pasha was Suleiman's childhood friend. They grew up together. Suleiman trusted him more than anyone. But Ibrahim was too ambitious. He became too powerful, acting like he was the real sultan. Huram saw this as a danger to her and her sons. She started poisoning Suleiman's mind against Ibrahim. She told him, "Your friend wants your throne." Slowly, Suleiman began to doubt Ibrahim. And in 1536, he made the hardest decision of his life. One night, Suleiman invited Ibrahim to dinner. They ate together, laughed, and talked about old times. Then, after midnight, guards entered the room. Ibrahim was arrested and strangled to death. Suleiman had killed his best friend, and after that night, he was never the same. His heart became cold, his eyes lost their warmth, and he realized something. Even the greatest rulers feel lonely at the top. But there was no time for sorrow, because a great war was waiting, the war for Vienna. After conquering Hungary, Suleiman marched towards Vienna. He had 120,000 soldiers, 300 cannons, and an unbreakable will. But Vienna was well defended. For 2 months, Suleiman's cannons attacked the walls. But the city did not fall. Winter was coming. His army was tired and hungry. For the first time, Suleiman faced defeat. On October 15, 1529, he made a painful decision. He lifted the siege and retreated. Europe was safe, for now. Part 5. The Final Chapter. The year was 1529. Suleiman stood on the battlefield, staring at the city of Vienna. The Ottomans had failed to capture it. For the first time in his life, Suleiman the Magnificent had been forced to retreat. But this was not the end. This was just the beginning of his greatest struggles. Because after Vienna, Suleiman would face betrayal, heartbreak, war, and the greatest loss of his life. And in the end, he would leave behind a legacy that would be remembered for centuries. This is the final chapter of Sultan Suleiman's unforgettable story. Suleiman had many battles to fight, but the most painful battle was not on the battlefield. It was in his own heart. By the 1550s, Suleiman had ruled for nearly 40 years. His empire was at its strongest, but something was missing, something that had always been by his side, Huram. By this time, Huram Sultan was sick. No one knew what disease she had, but day by day she grew weaker. Suleiman visited her every day in her chambers. For the first time, the mighty Sultan looked helpless. He held her hands, kissed her forehead, and whispered words of love. He promised her, "You are my one and only love. No other woman will ever take your place." But love cannot stop death. And on April 15, 1558, Huram Sultan took her last breath. She died in Suleiman's arms. And for the first time, Suleiman broke down. The most powerful man in the world, who had never cried in front of anyone, wept like a child. That day, the palace felt empty. The empire felt cold. And for Suleiman, life lost its meaning. He built a magnificent tomb for Huram, so that even in death she would be by his side. But his sorrow was just beginning. because the next tragedy would shake the empire to its core. With Hürrem gone, there was one question in everyone's mind. Who would be the next sultan? Suleiman had two powerful sons left. Mustafa, the people's favorite. Brave, strong, and a natural leader. Selim, weak, but Hürrem's favorite. And there was only one rule in the Ottoman Empire. Only one son could survive. The other must die. The army and the people loved Mustafa. They wanted him to be the next sultan. But Hürrem had always favored Selim. Even after her death, her influence remained. Suleiman began to suspect that Mustafa was plotting against him. Some whispered in his ears, "Your son wants your throne." Others warned, "If you do not stop him, he will kill you first." And on a dark night in 1553, Suleiman made a decision that would haunt him forever. He ordered the execution of his own son. Mustafa was called to the Sultan's tent. He walked inside, trusting his father. But as soon as he entered, the doors locked behind him. The men who were sent to kill him stepped forward. Mustafa tried to fight with all his strength, but there were too many of them. They used a silk rope to strangle him. And just like that, Suleiman's greatest son was dead. When the army heard what had happened, they wept. Even Suleiman's closest friends turned against him because he had done the unthinkable. He had killed his own blood, and after that day, Suleiman was never the same. His heart was heavy with regret. His eyes lost their shine, and he knew his end was near. By 1566, Suleiman was 71 years old. He had ruled the Ottoman Empire for nearly 50 years. He was old, he was tired, but he had one last war to fight, a war against Hungary. Even though he was sick and weak, Suleiman led his army one last time. He sat on his horse, dressed in his golden armor, his face full of wrinkles and wisdom. His soldiers looked at him with love, because even at this age, he was still their great sultan. The Ottoman army attacked the Hungarian fortress of Sigetvar. The battle was fierce. Cannon fire shook the ground. Swords clashed. Blood covered the fields. But in the middle of the war, something happened. Something that no one was prepared for. On September 6th, 1566, in the darkness of his war tent, Sultan Suleiman the Magnificent took his last breath. He died peacefully in his sleep, but his death was kept a secret. Because if the army knew, they might lose their spirit. For 48 days, the battle continued, and finally, the Ottomans won. Only then was the truth revealed. Suleiman was gone. The empire mourned. People cried in the streets, and the world lost one of its greatest rulers. Suleiman's body was taken back to Istanbul. He was buried in a magnificent tomb next to Hürrem Sultan. But there was a secret. Before he died, Suleiman had ordered something special. He knew that if he died during battle, his enemies would try to steal his heart. So before his body was taken back to Istanbul, his heart and internal organs were buried in Hungary. For centuries, no one knew where they were. But in 2016, archaeologists found the hidden site in Sigetvar, Hungary, a small tomb deep underground. Inside, they found traces of Ottoman-era soil, and they believe that this is where the heart of Sultan Suleiman rests. Even in death, his presence remained on the battlefield. Suleiman was not just a conqueror. He was a builder. He built mosques, bridges, and palaces that still stand today. He was a lawgiver. His legal system became the foundation for modern laws. And he was a lover. His love for Hürrem changed Ottoman history. Even today in Turkey, his name is spoken with respect. He was Suleiman the Magnificent, and his story will never be forgotten. This was the unforgettable story of Sultan Suleiman the Magnificent, a story of power, love, betrayal, and war. If you enjoyed this, share it with others, because history deserves to be remembered. Suleiman the Magnificent is no longer with us. His body turned to dust centuries ago. His empire no longer exists, but his legacy, his name, it will never die, because true greatness does not fade with time. It grows, it inspires, it changes lives. Suleiman's story is not just a history lesson. It is a lesson about power, love, ambition, and wisdom. A lesson that teaches us, if you dream big, you can change the world. If you love deeply, your love will be remembered forever. If you stand strong, no obstacle can break you. Suleiman started as a young boy with a dream to be great. And he did not wait for greatness to come to him. He built it with his own hands, through blood, sweat, and sacrifice, through heartbreak, loss, and war. He never gave up. Even when he lost the people he loved, even when he faced betrayal, even when his own heart was filled with regret. Because true leaders do not stop. They keep going. They leave a mark on history. And they teach us that we too can achieve greatness, no matter where you come from, no matter what your struggles are. If you have a dream, fight for it. If you face failure, stand up again. Because history does not remember the ones who give up. It remembers those who rise. Suleiman's story is proof that one person can change the world, that love can live beyond death, that true power is not just in war, but in wisdom, justice, and kindness. Be strong, be wise, be unforgettable. That is the true message of Suleiman the Magnificent, and that is why his story will be remembered forever.